So I've been watching Cobra Kai on Netflix.
Oh yeah, I always see that as like a ad when I've been watching Avatar: The Last Airbender, and that always comes up. How is it?
So I watched the first season, and I think it's low-key right-wing propaganda.
I believe you. Why do you think that?
So for those who don't know, Cobra Kai is a spin-off TV show based on The Karate Kid. It's, 20, 30, 40. I don't know when The Karate Kid came out. It is basically,
Like the
it picks
80s,
up,
I think.
yeah. So it picks up in modern times, following Johnny Lawrence, who is the villain in Karate Kid. And, like, he's a down on his luck loser. He reopens the Cobra Kai dojo. And, so I think, that in this show, Johnny Lawrence's character is the forgotten everyman. And
Interesting.
the elites look down on him because he's a little rough around the edges, but he's actually a good dude. And I think it's like, don't judge these people. And at the very end, he trains, well, throughout the show, he trains a young,
Spoiler, spoiler.
he trains a young Latino boy. This is
Okay.
not a, this is not a
Yeah.
spoiler.
Okay.
Okay, now, spoiler alert.
Okay.
The young Latino boy becomes the villain. And he was the bullied kid the entire show. So I think the message is sort of like you give these beat down people some power and they turn on you.
Oh, no, they didn't
Yeah,
go
power
there.
corrupts the brown people.
Oh, man. Wouldn't you consider Ralph Macchio one of the brown people?
No,
He's.
Italians are white.
Yeah, but he has got olive skin. He
He's
doesn't.
swarthy.
He's swarthy. That's what they call my people, too. Swarthy. yeah, that sounds.
He's spicy white like Ariana
He's.
Grande.
Yes, he's spicy white. he could pass for other ethnicities though, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, like he could probably go Armenian.
All right, anyways, that's besides the point. So this is did you so this is what I do when I watch a show. I go and I look up the creator and I look at what they've done and I look up the show, the writers on the show. I look up the producers. Did you do any of that to see like what other stuff they did?
So one of the executive producers, other than Ralph Macchio, is one Willard Smith,
Okay, who is Willard Smith?
the Fresh Prince.
Oh, shit. What? Okay. Did he read the
Yeah.
script?
And the thing I got it got me to thinking, like, what do we know about Will Smith's politics? I've never heard him speak about anything politically.
No, he's one of those actors that's like, I don't take any stance because I have fans and I can't alienate people.
Republicans buy sneakers.
That kind of whole thing. So
Yeah,
did you
like.
see this is just kind of a little bit off the topic, but did you see Jim oh fuck, I'm forgetting his name.
Gaffigan.
Gaffigan. He's one of my favorite comedians. He's so fucking funny. You saw his rant last week?
Man, you know how bad you have to be to upset Jim Gaffigan?
Oh, so bad. It has to be so bad for him to go on a rant like that.
Jim Gaffigan is fed the fuck up. That's where we are as a country. So, speaking of Trump, in
Well,
a
let's welcome
blockbuster.
welcome everybody back first to
Yeah,
the
see
show.
that. Oh man, you guys are family. I don't have to welcome you anymore.
Yeah, we do. We have to. What if we have new listeners?
Okay, welcome back to Yeet the Press.
Welcome back to Eat the Press.
And if you are a new listener, welcome to Yeet the Press.
Welcome.
Glad you found us.
And hello to our fans who tweeted us. Thank you.
Oh, we love you guys. The streets.
Yes, the streets.
So, yeah. Breaking news today. Bob Woodward, in a series of interviews, recorded President Donald J. Trump admitting that he's been misleading the public about the coronavirus.
18 interviews. He did 18 interviews with him, starting in December and going, I want to say until March or April, maybe May. It's been a while. He went did a lot of interviews and he audio recorded them with Trump's knowledge as well. And it's kind of crazy to me that Trump would agree to do this interview after Woodward put out a book already called Fear, and it was very critical of the president and his administration. Why would he do this? He seems so dumb.
I mean, this is one of the guys who is the reason that we put gate behind every scandal.
Seriously. So I just want to off the top say, I find it highly suspect that this guy knew since March or February, whenever he did one of these interviews where Trump, and they put the clip out today. We're going to play some clips today, which we've never done. We're getting high tech up in here.
I believe it when I hear it.
No, I am. I'm really going to edit them in. I promise. Anyways, he put it out that Trump, he has this audio of Trump saying he knew how serious the virus was. He, you know, saying things like, well, why don't we just play the clip? Let's play the clip.
Now it's turning out it's not just old people, Bob. Just today and yesterday, some startling facts came out. It's not just older.
Yeah, exactly.
Young people, to plenty of young people.
So, give me a moment of talking to somebody, going through this with Fauci or somebody who kind of it caused a pivot in your mind, because it's clear just from what's on the public record that you went through a pivot on this to, oh my God, the gravity is almost inexplicable and unexplainable.
Well, I think, Bob, really, to be honest with you.
Sure, I want you to.
I wanted to always play it down. I still like playing it down.
Yes.
Because I don't want to create a panic.
So, as you could hear from that, he knew it was serious. So here's one point I want to make, is that I think it's pretty suspect that Bob Woodward knew the president, knew that this was a serious virus, knew how deadly it was, saw Trump saying over and over that it was a hoax, that it would go away, that it wasn't that serious, that it wasn't worse than the flu. And Woodward said nothing. He said nothing until he has his book out. That's 200,000 people have died. You couldn't speak up as a journalist and say, hey, guess what? He's lying. He knows how serious it is.
You know, I've gone back and forth on this one. That was my initial reaction, that Woodward absolutely committed journalistic malpractice by not sharing that information as soon as he got it. But now I'm starting to think that, I mean, granted, I still think that he should have done the responsible thing and shared it, but I don't think it would have changed anything. I don't think he would have saved any lives.
He might not have, but it's still, we can't venerate these people. We cannot hold them up on a pedestal and say they're heroes because they're journalists and they expose things. Because I just feel like, wow, you have audio tape of this man. Audio. Anyways, let's talk about what the actual clip says.
Yeah, so in the clip, Trump admits to playing it down in his own words. He downplayed the threat from COVID-19, according to him, because he didn't want people to panic.
You know what I think he means? The stock market. He doesn't mean people. He means the stock market.
That is absolutely what he meant. It's completely and totally transparent. It's just an ounce of prevention. Just an ounce of fucking prevention. All he had to do was say, guys, wear masks. Mm-hmm. We're going to close shit down. We'll fund you for a while. Like Italy. Italy was the poster boy for COVID deaths. They're playing soccer now.
Mm-hmm. And now we're going to surpass them. Yeah, we're going to surpass them for the death rate.
I think we have to. I think today we surpassed them.
Yeah, it was today, or we were just about to, the last I read.
And they've been back to normal for a couple months now.
I'm so furious. That's the thing. It's like all these people that are like, it's a hoax or whatever, or it's not that serious, or he's done a good job. That one is especially baffling when people are like, he's done a good job. On this, it's like we literally have hundreds of other data points to look at and be like, no, he fucking didn't.
It's the same people who have convinced themselves that 94% of the COVID deaths are actually caused by other things.
These people, they're just infuriating. I can't get over how heartless and cruel all these people are.
You know, this morning, it was announced that a college football player out of California University of Pennsylvania, 20-year-old defensive tackle by the name of Jermaine Stevens, passed away at age 20 of COVID-19. Stevens is a pretty healthy kid. I mean, he was a college athlete, like peak fitness. And I see these conservative ghouls on the internet saying things like, well, he was obese. That's why he died. How many 20-year-olds die of obesity?
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like, it's so stupid because if something kills you and you weren't going to die, it's the thing that killed you that killed you. I mean, it wasn't like comorbidity just means it made it worse.
Right. I mean, a full 42% of American adults are obese.
Right.
And then when you start factoring in other comorbidities, such as smoking is a comorbidity, diabetes, high blood pressure, you get to a point where the majority of adults have a comorbidity.
Exactly. Exactly.
Many of these people were not going to die had it not been for COVID-19.
Yeah.
And I think
they weren't going to die.
And these people understand it intellectually, but they have to toe the party line.
It's a cult, Jason. It's a cult. Like, it's a cult. There's nothing more to say besides it's a cult.
How can we start a cult?
I mean, isn't this podcast our way of starting a cult? Isn't that what we're doing right here?
I haven't isolated anyone from their families. I haven't.
Not yet.
I have not touched anyone in their swimsuit areas.
Not yet. Give it some time. Just wait till we get to the point where we're invited to, like, podcast festivals. Oh. Then you can really get your cult going.
Yeah, no, if we invite you guys to a Yeet the Press retreat, don't come.
I won't be there.
Still listen, rate us 5 stars, but don't come to the retreat.
Right. Let's listen to another clip.
It's also more deadly than your strenuous flus. You know, people don't realize we lose 25,000, 30,000 people a year here. This is more deadly. This is 5% versus 1% and less than 1%. You know, so this is deadly stuff.
So, to me, this is the single most damning clip. This clip was from an interview that Trump did with Woodward on February 7th. This is long before COVID reached our shores.
Well, I think it was here way earlier than we think it was, but he knew about it. And what is so damning about it is that he's basically saying the things that he publicly just contradicts. It's not deadly. It's not worse than the flu. Only this many people die from the flu, which is not that many. Like, everything he says in that clip, he goes on for the next, since he has been in public talking about it, to say the exact opposite.
For me, this clip is shocking, not because Trump has been derelict in his duties and dishonest about this. Because he absolutely has. The thing that's most shocking to me is that we knew that it was airborne back in February, because every public health official was stressing not touching things, cleaning surfaces, washing your hands.
And stressing not to wear a mask, that it wasn't important to wear a mask.
And they knew from day one the transmission was airborne.
And you've said this before about how they fucked up on the masks messaging. It's just,
I mean, and I understand why that choice was made. It was a calculated choice. They didn't want there to be a run on N95 masks. But, you know, now we're walking around with napkins strapped around our fucking faces, because any face covering is better than nothing.
It's just infuriating. I mean, here it is. We're 2 months away from Thanksgiving. And are people really going to get to see their families on Thanksgiving? I mean, people who don't give a fuck will, but...
So I was in the supermarket, and there's just aisles and aisles of Halloween candy. And people are buying that candy. And you know what? If you're buying that Halloween candy, You know there's not going to be a trick or treating. You're just a fucking greedy fuck. You just want to eat a big bag of Reese's Pieces.
I mean, I still have a big bag of candy from last year. I didn't eat it all.
Wait.
My sister did, though. She came over, and every time she visited, she would eat that Halloween candy.
Why do you have a bag of candy? Your kids aren't old enough to trick-or-treat.
No, but there's kids in my neighborhood, and I would give it to them. I'd put my light on and let the kids in the neighborhood come over.
Kids don't trick-or-treat on my street.
Ah, okay. Why?
I have no idea. Like, when I take the kids out, I leave an entire bowl of candy on the porch, and I always expect one kid to just come dump the whole shit in his bag.
Yeah, of course.
Every time I come home, that bowl's full.
Wow. Have they been touched at all?
I don't dust them for prints, but they don't seem to be disturbed.
Mm. You know what I think is weird? The ice cream truck comes around. And I'm like, this cannot be a good idea that the ice cream truck comes around.
Oh, I thought you were saying it comes around on Halloween.
Just in general.
Because who's buying ice cream when it's free candy?
No, right. No, I just mean in general. It just seems like a bad idea. Like, why is there an ice cream truck?
Probably selling weed.
Maybe. This is a tangent. I don't know. Maybe I'll cut this out, but I'm pretty sure my neighbor sells weed. I'm like, should we ask him without being presumptuous if he can give us some? Is that crazy?
I mean, like, do you socialize with this neighbor? Like, could you just, like, drop in casual conversation how the mid's moving?
I mean, no, I cannot say that. We, like, are friendly and we'll say hello to each other. I had this whole running bit on Twitter about how when we first moved here, we didn't know anybody and he was just very nice, like, neighborly nice. And I was like, oh, he has no idea, but he's our best friend. He doesn't know it. So we are home all day. So we just, you know, sitting in our kitchen, we can see his coming and goings. And he leaves all the time for 5 or 10 minutes at a time. He just leaves and comes back, leaves and comes back. And then also,
maybe he just smokes cigarettes. Maybe he's just going outside for a smoke break.
No, he gets in his car and leaves. And also random people come over to his house. So I'm just like,
And maybe he's a sex worker. I mean, don't be judgmental.
I'm not being judgmental. I want weed. Jesus Christ.
So I was talking to a friend of mine whose next door neighbor sells weed. Mm-hmm. And it became a point of contention when the wife of this couple is really into plants. She's a big plant mom. She got grow lights for her internal plants.
Mm-hmm.
And the next door weed dealer was like, you can't have grow lights here. People are going to think you're growing weed. You're going to bring them to my house.
Oh, no. Come on. Yeah. I have grow lights. We have grow lights in our window for some of our succulents because they need so much freaking sunlight.
Jesus, I wonder if Christ. He hates this us. This is the oldest podcast ever.
I wonder if he's like, I wish my neighbors would get rid of their grow lights. I mean, it's just two lamps, but whatever. Okay, back to the bad topic at hand.
No, I need to get to the bottom of whether or not your neighbor sells weed.
I think he does, and I just want to casually... And also, I smell him when I'm in the backyard. I can smell him smoking weed in his yard. So I'm like... He smokes weed for sure, so I could maybe just be like, hey, neighbor, you know where we could get some of that?
I would like precisely one marijuana.
Precisely one. Can you share? We have this whole theory about him that he's a gamer during the day and he has a Twitch channel. We are really obsessed with him. We're very bored. But we're like, he's home. We say his name. I'm not going to say his name on the podcast. So we're like, he's home. He's leaving. He's home.
So I've been in this house for 8 years now. I know two neighbors by name.
Mm-hmm.
And I only know one because he's constantly inserting himself into our lives.
Mm-hmm. Is this the guy, the white guy, the old white guy?
Yeah, it's the old white guy.
Mm-hmm.
Who I learned used to live in this house.
What? That's so weird.
Yeah, he came over one day to bring us a picture of, like, him and his wife in the house.
Here's a picture of us living in your home. Yeah, are you creeped out yet?
Yeah, we used to fuck on your counter.
Okay. All right. I want to get back to the clip. All okay, right. So you know what's also very, like, jarring? To hear Trump somewhat coherent and actually understand the facts of what's happening.
You know, that did not occur to me, but you're absolutely right.
He's
He's lucid and sober.
Yeah, and he understands it. So It just makes me so mad. It makes me so mad. Should we listen to another clip?
Hey, but let me ask you this. I mean, we share one thing in common. We're white, privileged, who my father was a lawyer and a judge in Illinois, and we know what your dad did. And do you have any sense that that privilege has isolated and put you in a cave to a certain extent? Is it put me, and I think lots of white privileged people, in a cave, and that we have to work our way out of it to understand the anger and the pain particularly black people feel in this country? Do you
You really drank the Kool-Aid, didn't you? Just listen to you. Wow. No, I don't feel that at all.
That clip reminds me of a lot of, like, when I was in high school, I was impressionable. I read a lot of, like, Nation of Islam pamphlets and a bunch of also bunch of kookier black religions, NGE, Nations of God and Earth, and that sort of thing.
Five percenters?
Yeah, NGE, five percenters. And I understand what Woodward was saying about living in caves because that's where white people come from.
Right.
So I'm glad that he has done the math. He has done the knowledge.
Yeah. I mean, he knows that he's going to, he knows people are going to listen to this and he needs to be delicate with what he says. But yeah, I mean, is anybody surprised that this is what Trump says and feels and thinks? He's a white supremacist. He doesn't give a fuck about anybody but white people.
You know, I need to go back and learn a little bit about demographic shifts in New York City, because I just think of, like, this is a man who grew up in Jamaica, Queens.
Right.
What on earth was Jamaica like when he grew up? Like, was he completely isolated from black people?
I think so. I think he must have been. I mean, he lived in a house that, from what I understand, was, like, pretty big. And, like, you know, there are houses in New York, you know, out in, like, Queens and whatnot that are, like, they have fences and walls and nobody can see in and that kind of thing.
But, you know, like, the city is so dense and small that there's not that separation of wealth. Like, I grew up pretty poor. But, like, I remember one of my classmates in middle school's mom was the vice president of a movie studio, public school. And, like, one of my classmates' mom was a crackhead. So, like I figure in New York,
right,
you get that full experience.
Yes, but he went, I'm sure, to a private school and also went to military school.
Yeah, I know, like, he went to military school because he had disciplinary issues. I'm not sure. He probably was never in the private, I mean, public school system. You're probably
right. I'm pretty sure he was not in the public school systems. And don't forget, this is a guy who made sure that black people couldn't rent in his buildings.
Fred Trump and Donald Trump.
And Donald, too. So this is not, his racism has been from the beginning.
You know, that's what's funny when I hear, like, Trump supporters say things like, he's not a racist. It's like, how are we defining racism? Because, like, housing discrimination seems to be the most transparent form of racism.
Mm-hmm. Besides his own words.
I mean, like, you can just say, like, he doesn't feel that way. But, like, I mean, I feel that racism is a material concern. It's not a matter of hearts, minds, and emotion.
It's, and, like, practice.
Yes, it is practice. And the federal government has found this man guilty of racism.
Yes. And guilty of discrimination. And I mean, there are so many things in his, I think in his actions, not just his words, we can say that he's racist. I mean, the Muslim ban obviously was born out of bigotry.
But yeah, I love the fact that Trump just dismissed it. Like, when Woodward laid out the fact that these men both came from privilege, and Woodward actually spelled out that it wasn't just race. It was their socioeconomic background. And Trump's like, nope, didn't benefit me.
It was a softball question. He just, sometimes he gets set up for these questions and he just can't answer them because he's so stupid. Like, I also, can I just say, I don't understand why he agreed to these interviews. What would make him do that? Because he can't help himself?
Yeah, he's a narcissist.
Yeah, he can't help himself. He wants to talk about himself. He wants books to be written about him. I saw a couple clips of Michaela McMacanini.
Caleb McNenany.
I know. I refuse to learn her name. The press secretary. And she was being grilled. This is just earlier today. She was being grilled by the White House press corps. And they just kept on and like, why would he agree to do this? And he's just like, because he's the most transparent president in the history. And she, you know, obviously she was also doing that whole like double think and like, he didn't say that. He didn't do that. And it's like, they're clearly doing the, like, we've always been at war with East Asia. They're doing that for real.
That's one of our podcast episode titles.
Is it?
Nice. It is, yeah.
Nice. You guys, Jason comes up with the podcast titles, and he is chef's kiss at it. So good at it.
Magnifique. So while we're speaking of White House press secretaries, I wanted to talk about this like a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
In Sarah Huckabee Sanders' book, she mentions that in North Korea, Kim Jong-un, you know, gave her a look or a wink or something. And Trump was like, you know, I might need you to take one for the team.
Basically, go fuck him.
Yes.
Gross.
He literally tried to pimp out the White House press secretary.
And she has no, like, problems putting it in a book and saying it with, like, and still she goes on TV and defends him.
But she was horribly offended by a mention of her smoky eyeshadow.
These people. They're just, I can't. Things are so bad. Everything is so bad. Let's listen to one more clip.
Oh, we're just going to clip crazy. Now that we got technology.
Yeah, why not? The one listener is going to be like, I can't believe she edited things in. Usually she talks about editing things out.
But I have built a weapon system that nobody's ever had in this country before. We have stuff that you haven't even seen or heard about. We have stuff that Putin and Xi have never heard about before. There's nobody. What we have is incredible.
Okay, that's bullshit.
Well, actually, I did see a tweet earlier today that some Defense Department people confirmed that they have a new weapon system, but they would not give any details about it. This man is such a blabbermouth. He cannot shut his fucking mouth.
Okay, so I thought the whole purpose of nuclear weapons was that your enemy knows about them and they are thus the nuclear deterrent.
Well, he says a nuclear weapons and then he just says a weapon system. He stops himself from saying nuclear. He just says a weapon system. I mean, we do have Space Force now. Maybe that's what he's talking about.
Space Force has one member.
Does it?
Yeah, you know how lonely he is in the Space Force barracks?
You know when he goes to the, like, meetings with all the other department heads, they laugh at him.
Yeah, I just imagine him opening his email like, oh, wonder who's got guard duty tonight? Oh, it's fucking me.
Seriously. Well, he's a blabbermouth, so we know that much. He can't shut his mouth. He can't shut his mouth. I don't know what to say, but, like, there's no, like, tactical thinking with this dude.
I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. I'm just imagining some dude with a buffer in the Space Force hallway. Empty ass.
It's not some dude. It's the head of the department. What do you mean some dude? It's him. He's got to do all the jobs.
Secretary of the Space Force cutting the grass.
Oh, man. He's like, am I ever going to get to go to space? No. Sorry.
Yo, the next president is getting rid of that shit. There's never actually going to be a Space Force.
I mean, seriously, what do we need it for? I guess this is as good a time as any to say how Trump has been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize.
You know, he joins a distinguished cast of characters. Adolf Hitler was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize.
Nice, nice. Always love it when we can bring in Hitler with the Trump talk.
But yeah, I did not do enough research to figure out why Hitler was nominated and don't really give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a good factoid to throw out there. Right. But Trump was nominated for helping negotiate peace accords between Israel and the United Arab Emirates.
Mm-hmm. And he was nominated by, you sent me the link, but I forgot.
By a Norwegian parliamentarian. I could look his name up, but do you care?
Nope.
No, also, I would mangle it anyway. But this particular parliamentarian is, surprise, surprise, a right-wing nut job.
No.
Yeah, now he has said numerous times that immigration is the biggest problem that Norway faces. He has likened wearing of the hijab to KKK robes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he's like a virulent anti-Islamist. He also thinks that the West and the NATO countries are a little bit too hard on Putin.
Oh, he's one of those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's funny how those ideologies all go in together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I could see how I would be racist. I mean, I'm not a racist, but I could see how one would become racist. I don't think that would influence my thoughts on Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, what is that? I mean, Putin is a racist. He likes his white-ass country that he has.
I mean, being perfectly honest here, there are lots of black people who are anti-immigration mm-hmm. for lots of reasons. Not one of them gives a single fuck about Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, that's true. There's actually a lot of immigrants that are anti-immigration, too. It's kind of crazy.
I don't even want to go there.
Okay, we won't.
There's a lot.
We won't go there. I mean,
So he's, Trump is going to, I'm sure he's going to campaign on that. But one of the things that the nomination mentioned is that he is the first president in 39 years to not get us into a new war. Or start hostilities in countries that we did not currently have conflict.
Oh, his term isn't over yet, guys.
Also, he literally assassinated the second-ranking Iranian.
Yes, he almost got us into a war.
Yeah, literally the only
reason...
But
remind our listeners what that is, in case they forgot.
Well, now I've forgotten the gentleman's name. I want to say gentleman to think that I'm honoring him. But the, an Iranian general, Iranian, I said Iranian, a Persian fellow. Mm-hmm,
Persian.
An Iranian general who's widely seen as the second most powerful person in the country was killed by a U.S. strike in Iraq, where he happened to be at the time.
It was, at the time, if I remember correctly, very knee-jerk response from Trump, and everybody was like, what the hell? Why have you done this?
If you would like to hear our more informed and up-to-the-date take, go back through our archives and listen to the podcast titled We've Always Been at War with East Asia.
Holy shit, what a callback! Oh my God, is that the one?
That's the one.
Holy shit. Well, we've come full circle. Do you have an asshole of the week?
No, I don't have an asshole of the week.
Okay. Sort of. I kind of have an asshole of the week, and I think you'll be on board with this. White leftists out there that say that...
listeners.
Yeah, of course.
Our listeners are the good white leftists.
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about, the loud voices on Twitter who like to say that Russia is also a hoax, and that it is up there with QAnon conspiracy theory. I mean,
it's infuriating. Like, if I respect any argument that says that the Russian meddling in our election did not sway the election, I think that's a reasonable stance to take. But just to deny that it happened and to say the Russiagate is a conspiracy theory is maddening.
It is maddening, especially when there's so much proof, and it's just come out last week that Robert Mueller and pretty much all the House investigation committees, everybody that's looked into Russia, has not looked into any money ties that Trump has to Russia. It's all been off limits. So we have no idea what kind of money situation he has going on.
I bet SDNY knows.
I bet they do, too. I just, it annoys me too, because to equate it with QAnon, QAnon is based on some theory that Trump is a pedophile slayer and is going to save the children from all the Democratic pedophiles. It's insanity, because he is allegedly as well a pedophile.
Yeah, this man has had numerous allegations, and there is photographic evidence of him with his teen daughter sitting on his lap, perched atop a statue of two parrots fucking.
Ugh, gross. So, I think it could be argued, yes, that they didn't sway the election, but to say that Trump and his campaign did not conspire at all with them, I don't think that's a fair thing to say. And I think it makes you sound crazy when you say that's not true and you call it a conspiracy theory.
It does. Like, you're listening to this show. You're familiar with us. You know we are not huge fans of the DNC.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, like, dunking on the Democrats is not a personality. It's not a virtue. You don't have to go out on a limb to try to discredit the Democrats at every turn.
Mm-hmm.
Russia,
they'll do it themselves.
Yeah, no, they'll do it. They'll shit the bed.
Yeah, so I would say that's my asshole of the week is the people on Twitter who are like, it's just a conspiracy theory. And it's like, shut up. Two things can be true.
Yeah, two things. And two things are true.
What's that?
Our theme music, Too Cool,
is by Kevin McLeod. We're going to fight about this every week. Yes, please go like us on Twitter. Don't go like us. Go follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, please like us. Please tell your friends you like us.
Yeah, tell your friends. We always love new listeners. Yeah, go follow us on Twitter and Instagram, even though I haven't done anything on Instagram.
Yeah, give us all the stars.
All the stars. Give us a good rating, please, and leave a review if you have it in your hearts.
Yeah, and you know what? In turn, I will review your podcast.
Yeah, for sure. I'll go rate your podcast. I got no problems doing that. Do you know how many of my friends' podcasts I've just gone and hit 5 stars for them? So many. Yeah, it's not hard.
Easy, yeah.
Yeah.
And all right. As you are our friends, and we're yours. Five stars.
We do this for you.
All right. Well, until next time. See you next week.
Later.